The world was about to change when Charles Goodyear saw a life preserver in a New York City shop window in 1834. Goodyear was fresh off a stint in debtor's prison, having been forced to declare bankruptcy when his family hardware business failed. After a few long days in a squalid cell, he resolved on a bold new plan to bring his family back to prosperity. Instead of selling the products needed for modern life, he would invent new and better ones. His hardware business had, after all, manufactured its own scythes and forks, and his father had gotten his start by producing the buttons worn by American soldiers in the War of 1812. Looking into the shop window at the Roxbury India Rubber Company's life preserver, the 33-year-old Goodyear decided it was time to start his plan. Rubber products were relatively new to the United States, only becoming widespread in the 1820s. Investors flocked to this curious substance from the weeping wood trees of Central and South America. Rubber shoes were among the first rubber products sold to the new nation. Overshoes, forerunners of modern-day galoshes, slipped over normal shoes to keep them safe and dry from rain and mud. The crude latex shoes were hailed as a triumph of design, providing protection that no leather or wooden shoe could. In 1826, 8 tons of overshoes were imported into New England from Brazil. 4 years later, the figure was 161 tons. The rubber boom continued through the early 1830s, with rubber coats, hats, boats, and life preservers joining the expanding product line, buoyed by a fascination with the substance's waterproof properties. Goodyear purchased the life preserver he saw in New York and took it back to his home in Philadelphia. It actually wasn't the bag of wind that had caught Goodyear's eye for improvement, just its valve, which had a leaky seal. He set about coming up with a better design. When he returned to the Roxbury store a few weeks later, the salesman was impressed with Goodyear's valve design, but there was a small problem. He took Goodyear to a nearby warehouse, where shelves and shelves were stacked with blobby masses that had once been life preservers. He explained that though the Roxbury Company had been one of the most successful in the rubber trade, it was now on the verge of ruin. Rubber had the ability to resist water, but it also had a fatal flaw. It melted in the heat and turned brittle in the cold. The life preservers had been destroyed by the New York summer. "Forget your valve," the salesman said. "The one invention that could save the rubber industry and earn a fortune for the inventor would be a method of preserving rubber from this." Goodyear's interest was piqued. It was the worst possible time to get into the business. The investors who had first flocked to rubber had backed out, and public interest was waning in products that could not hold their shape during the hot summer months. Nevertheless, the budding inventor set to work, purchasing the now unwanted rubber for pennies on the pound. Goodyear used his wife's rolling pin to knead the raw bits of rubber into a pliable consistency before subjecting each batch to a battery of tests. He tried everything he could think of, dissolving bits of rubber in chemical solutions, sun curing, glazing, sure that if he could manage to achieve a temperature-resistant rubber, its potential was vast. With no scientific background to help him structure his experiments, his progress was slow and laborious.